السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. When you hear Mujtaba, Mustafa, or Sunodil Sayyaro, then you know it's synonymous with one name, and that is one of the ulama that have passed on from Cape Town, Marana Sirajuddin Paka, Rahmatullahi Alayh, a young alim that has passed away. He was ill for some time, but obviously made an impact on many people's lives. And to give you an understanding, when I phoned one of the ulama and I said, you know, I wanted you to come on here to speak about Marana Sirajuddin, your companion, he said, Maulana Sirajuddin, my brother. That gives you an understanding when people make and when people have the special bond in the heart of others, the way they made them feel, the interaction, you realize how important is it to make sure that as an individual, you are able to make such a positive impact on the people that you know, that they will think to say that that is my brother more than that is a friend of mine. And that is the personality that we're speaking about, and that is Hazrat Maulana Sirajuddin Paka, Rahmatullah. We have Marana Hussain Ismail Ji from Azad Wal Marana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, jazakallah for taking out your time this evening all the way from the best place of Azad Wal. Allah Ta'ala bless you and the people of Azad Wal Marana.
Ameen, ameen.
Inshallah.
Marana is also included in the Ameen.
We come there often, so we have part of that to be happy in the place of Azad Wal, mashallah. My in-laws are from Azad Wal. Allah Ta'ala bless everyone, inshallah.
Ameen.
Marana, tell me, Marana Sirajuddin Parker, you knew him on a personal level, and yet he was family as well to Marana's wife, etc. So, yeah. Marana, just in terms of starting, as we always do, a little bit of family history of Marana Sirajuddin Parker?
Alhamdulillah, I personally knew Maulana only for approximately, from around about 2011. Prior to that, knowing who he was, hearing about him, hearing the Nazams and everything, but getting to know him personally was in around about 2011. Maulana was born in Cape Town in 1973, at the age of approximately 14. Maulana left Cape Town, left home to come to Azad Wal, to come to Madrasa to start his dini activities, pursuing of dini activities. And ever since then, from the age of 14, Maulana has been involved in dini activities. He had left his family and he had been involved in dini activities throughout his life, right up until he had passed away.
Subhanallah.
Maulana started his years in Azad Wal in approximately, let's say about the age of 14 in 1989.
Okay.
Maulana had come to Azad Wal, started his years. He had stayed with my father-in-law. He basically, you could say, grew up here at home in Azad Wal.
Ji.
And then in 1993, he started his Alim class. And then he had pursued his full dini studies right up until he had qualified in 1999. In the year 2000, Maulana had gone for his 1 year. And ever since then, Maulana has been, he was doing imamat, teaching, etc.
Chief. Respected listeners, you are reminded it's an open line this evening. The number is 011-854-1548. You can give us a call. Usama is waiting to take your call. Alternatively, what is easier is if you could send me a message, I could read it out on air. The number is 071-878-9748. And if you send me the message, inshallah, I will endeavor to read it on air for you. Just to start, and this comes, I would assume, from Morana's family, it's read, Assalamu alaikum. Morana fulfilled all his duties, each in their right. For an example, he did as much as he could for all as a right as a Morana. He did what he could as a husband. And he did the best under the circumstances to play with his children and spend time with his family. He was loving, family-oriented man who always tried to keep everyone together. He never underestimated the power his words had from the ocean of knowledge that he had shared with everyone. He had a wise way of dealing with all matters. He is dearly and sorely missed by his family, students and colleagues. That was coming, I would assume, I think, from Morana's family. So if you do have a message or you knew Morana or you came in contact with Morana, please do send us a message. The message number is 071-878-9748. Morana Ismail, LG, carrying on with regards to that, you made mention that after the year 1999 he graduated, and in the year 2000 Maulana then left and he went for his 1 year out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Please do carry on from there, Maulana.
So in the year 2000 he went out for Isal, came back from Isal. Initially he was teaching a little bit around here in Johannesburg side. And then after he went over to Botswana. There was an opening of Botswana. He went to Botswana. He was in Botswana for between 10 and 12 years. You know, the effort that Maulana had made in Botswana, the effect and the impact that he had on the people in Botswana in the 10 to 12 years was seen at the time of Maulana's janaza. That the day that Maulana had passed away, which was on the 28th of May this year, the Monday, during Ramadan, the people from Botswana, the moment they got the news of Maulana's demise, immediately they had left Botswana. They initially tried to book a flight directly from Botswana to Cape Town. They couldn't get any bookings. So they had left from Botswana, they had driven down to Johannesburg, took a flight from Joburg, from Oratambo, and they then got to Cape Town at about 10 o'clock that night.
Allahu Akbar.
Maulana Shamil, very, very close friend and bosom friend of Maulana Sirajuddin. When I was speaking to him, he was telling me, he says that when he had spoken to the people of Botswana, he asked them, he said, what was the reason for people coming all the way to there? You could have stayed in Botswana and made dua.
Gee.
So they said that it is impossible at a time like this for them not to come because of the effect and the impact that Maulana had had on their life in Botswana. You know, the cargo that they had given about how Maulana was, the dini khidmat that he had made in Botswana, and what he had gone through, the difficulties he had gone through because of his sicknesses and everything, putting all that aside, he still put deen in front, you know?
Subhanallah.
And then it reached a stage where Maulana's sickness became, it became very, very difficult for Maulana to continue in Botswana any longer. He had to come back home to South Africa. So Maulana then came back to Cape Town. And he was in Cape Town now for approximately 3-4 years, back home here in South Africa. When he came back to Cape Town, Alhamdulillah, Allah accepted him. Maulana's life was only on Dawat and Tabligh. Allah accepted him that when he came to Deen, it was everything for him was with regards to Deen, you know?
Gee.
So Alhamdulillah, he also became the principal of Madrasa Islahul Banat. It's one of the largest girls' madrasas in Cape Town, from what I had understood.
Okay.
He was the principal right up until his last days, so. And Maulana had made a huge impact in the community in Cape Town as well. And that was basically his dini activities. He was very, very involved in dini. Maulana's whole life was dini. Maulana was like he was the heart and the light of every, let's put it to you, in the family. Let's say in the family, when there was get-togethers and everything, Maulana was the light and the heart of the family get-together. But that never stopped him from propagating and teaching dini in any way. He would laugh, he would joke, he would bring laughter, he would bring a smile on everybody's face. But he will never let that gathering end without anybody learning something in that gathering with regards to deen.
Subhanallah.
There was never a moment that anybody didn't learn, spend any time with Maulana, and they never learned anything with regards to deen. You know, even in his while he was so sick, you know, like, you know, Maulana's illness, it became like his second nature. It became reached a stage where none of us would understand exactly what Maulana is going through because how long Maulana was sick. It's from Maulana that Maulana used to be sick.
Okay.
But he never stopped that sickness from allowing him to pursue anything in deen. Just to give a bit of a brief history on his deen, the way he was with regards to deen. Maulana first got introduced to deen in a way that where he realized he wants to pursue deen activities at the age of about 12.
Okay.
When my marhum father-in-law, Maulana met my marhum father-in-law in Cape Town, Marhum Faizal Mullah, then Maulana was around about 12 years old at that time there. And Dawat and Tabligh was still fairly new at that time in South Africa. So not a lot of people knew about it. Those who knew about it, not a lot of them agreed with it.
Okay,
no, they didn't understand it fully.
They didn't understand it at that time, gee.
They never understood it fully at that time, you know. So Maulana's father didn't fully understand what Dawat and Tabligh was. And when Maulana had seen my marhum, Rahimullah's father, my father-in-law, then he realized at that time what he wants to do. He realized at that time that he wants to pursue deen.
Okay.
He wants to go out and study. He wants to become an alim. He wants to do khidr at that time, you know.
Gee.
So initially when he had spoken to Maulana had spoken to his own marhum father, Then Maulana's father initially refused. He didn't want to agree with him.
Okay.
And Maulana kept on like, you know, like, no, he wants to go out. He wants to study. He wants to pursue Dini activities. So Maulana's father initially had told him that, you know what, if you want, you can go.
Okay.
But then I'm going to disown you.
Allahu Akbar.
Maulana then immediately started saving up with his own money. He started saving up for approximately 2 years. He saved up money to buy a ticket to come from Cape Town to Johannesburg to come and study. And reached a stage where, because of Maulana's persistence on Deen and the way Maulana had inculcated Deen in his family and brought Deen alive in the community and the area that he was in, his father, rahimullah, had become exceptionally proud of him. And he was the happiest person on earth with his son because of his son's Deen activities. You know, there was never, you know, he brought Deen alive in the area that he was living in. That alhamdulillah, till today, being the first alim and the first hafiz from his mother's side, it started off a chain where almost every family from his mother's side, every person in the family, had some hafiz or alim that was coming up in the family, you know.
Subhanallah.
Continuing till today.
We have the brother of Maulana on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Brother Zahir, you're live on air with myself, Ubaidullah Bojan. We're speaking about your honorable brother, Maulana Sirajuddin. Jazakallah for taking out your time this evening from our side, the Radio Islam, the Jamiatul Ulama. Our condolences to yourself, the family, the wife, the kids. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all the ni'am al-badal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that Maulana is in the comforts of paradise and Maulana is enjoying the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell me, in terms of a brother and in terms of your interaction with him, what are some of the things you can share with your listener, with our listeners this evening?
Maulana was very, very close knitted as brothers. We were three brothers.
Okay.
All together. We grew up, we were very close knitted. We always were together, always played together. Maulana was the eldest. He was like a father to us also, more than just a brother. He was more like a father to us, and he was more like a father to everybody else. That's what he was. We had very good times together, alhamdulillah, from our young age. Till he left and went to go study. And then we actually, for the last time that me and Maulana spent together was for our Umrah. That was just prior to when Maulana passed away. Alhamdulillah, I had the privilege of spending the last 2 weeks with him.
Alhamdulillah.
It was something very special for me that I still keep very dear to my heart. And it's very emotional for me to speak about it. Because as we all know, Maulana was very sick with his kidneys and everything. There was times that I had to push Maulana in the wheelchair when we were on Umrah. But alhamdulillah, like I always tell the story about Maulana, my whole aim was to go with Maulana to assist him to go for his Umrah.
Okay.
But when it was the time for him to do the Umrah, Maulana always told me, look, I want to see and try and walk and do it on my own.
Okay.
So I said, okay, alhamdulillah, I'm going to go with you. We're going to start with our Umrah. And as we're coming inside to do our start with our Umrah, and all of a sudden, Maulana just disappeared in front of me, as sick as he was with his kidneys paining and everything. He disappeared in front of me into all the thousands of people, and he did his Umrah all on his own.
Allahu Akbar.
It was my most fond memory of him, and I still hold it so dear to my heart. I actually only got Maulana at 19 o'clock in the hotel again.
Allahu Akbar. Maulana was a different kind of a special person as well, you know. I also knew Maulana from the time because I always had a passion for Nizams, and when Maulana came to Benoni, I had quite a bit of interaction with him and my father as well, but obviously perhaps at a later stage we'll speak about that as well. I want to ask you one question. In terms of his illness, what was Maulana's... how did he react to his illness, and how was his patience showed when he was going through the challenges of the illnesses, etc.?
I can't really describe it, but it has always been hard on Maulana, but Maulana never really showed it out. I mean, he's been just struggling with his kidneys all the years, since a young age already. He's been having a problem with the kidneys and the kidney stones and all that. But alhamdulillah, Maulana always he put a very brave face on. Always had a brave face on, even with all his pains and everything. He was always very brave in his own. He showed the pain out. Always showed that braveness in his face.
In terms of your interaction with him, Zahir, tell us something special that you and him interacted with that motivated the family to take to Deen. Obviously, we heard Maulana Hussain making mention that in the starting it was a bit difficult for the families to understand why would a young person at that age leave to want to go to learn the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what motivated the family to be able to follow this path of knowledge that Maulana started treading on in the early 90s?
1980s. Yes, sir. When he was very young, I can still remember how it all happened, that he used to go to the masjid, and then he actually got involved with the Tabligh Jamaat. And then it was there that one of the Saatis there that spoke to him, and that was when he decided, you know, he wanted to go study Deen. And after that, Maulana's studying brought the family so close together. Everybody just became closer and closer and closer, our whole family, everybody. And from there, alhamdulillah, a lot of the cousins, children, all of them, they all went to study Hafiz. A lot of them became alims, all through the because of Maulana's talking to them and giving them good advice and everything.
Subhanallah. Respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Maulana Sirajuddin Pakar, rahmatullahi alayh. Maulana Abdul Rahman Ishaq, the Imam of Azadwal Masjid, says, Alhamdulillah, my family and I had the opportunity to get to know Maulana Siraj very well. Maulana was a family person. His close family members meant the world to him. Even on days when Maulana's sickness took the better of him, he would hide his pain and make everyone around him smile. He was a very jolly person. Maulana won the hearts of the young and old, respected by everyone that knew him. Over the past few years, alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of meeting Maulana at least once a month or once every 2 months. It was an honor to make the khidmat of Maulana. Another message coming in, Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother. A man with a heart of gold beyond words. A man who put others first before him. A man who got Ramadan because he deserved it. Our du'as and prayers will always be with him. We miss him much, but he's in a much better place now. A brother from Gaborone sends this message. So alhamdulillah, we see the different impacts with regards to the life of Maulana Siraj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him tremendously, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take him from strength to strength. We now go for an ad break, inshallah. When we return, we shall carry on with the program of Maulana Siraj Baka. Assalamu alaikum. Maulana Sirajuddin made my tashkeel, and I went out first time in Jamaat with him for a weekend. He was such an inspiration to me that I went out for 4 months afterwards. He was always closely involved in the effort in Botswana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Maulana Jannatul Firdaus. Assalamu alaikum. Shukran for this program. Maulana Sirajuddin was humble, dedicated servant of Deen. He touched the hearts not only with his discourses and nizams, but with his humility and practical lifestyle. Maulana had a great impact on all who associated with Maulana. Maulana always was smiling and positive, never complained on any adverse condition. Nor did Maulana stop work because of pursuing Deeni or community work. We as a family and the Ummah are poorer because of the loss of Maulana and spreading goodness, and that is from Brother Abu Khan. So respected friends, this is some of the aspects we are dealing about Maulana Siraj Pakar, rahmatullahi alayh. Maulana Ismailji, we're having some very important information that's coming out and some of the ping that people are sharing. Perhaps you want to carry on from some of the things that you've got from the family? Maulana Hussain, are you with us? I think maybe Maulana is just off air, but nevertheless, we'll try and get him on, inshallah ta'ala. We have two other guests that will be coming on soon, inshallah. We're going to ask Brother Usama if he could get the next guest, Morana Zakaria Adam, inshallah. Morana is also very close with him, so inshallah we will try and get it from there. Another phone stuff coming in from Morana's Fopu in Cape Town. Morana, besides being a family member, he was like a friend to us, and he was a person in a million. He will dearly be missed. He's an inspiration and will live forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Morana Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum. We have Morana Hussain. Morana, you back on the line with us? Sorry, Maaf, Morana, the phone cut. No, it's fine. I think the phone cut, Morana. So we had some interesting thoughts from Morana's brother as well regarding and some messages that are coming in. So we will take it from there, inshallah ta'ala. What are some of your thoughts that you had with regards to some of the things that Morana was involved in and you had learned from the family members, Morana?
Well, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to my there's a few things that, you know, like, let's just look at Morana's intelligence, for an example. When Morana was in Maresa, Morana was known in his classroom with regards to a few, among his friends, he was known for his Urdu, the way he was in his Urdu.
Okay.
How intelligent he was. What a brilliant student he was. The fact that he was able to teach other students in the class when they never understood things, he was able to explain it to them, make them understand things. And but when he came to his Urdu in a day, he was very well known about how well he knew his Urdu. So, for an example, this year, just before Maulana had passed on, there was the elders from India, and they had come to Cape Town.
Okay.
So Ahmed Lat was having a program, and they requested, they were making mashwara about who should be doing the Quran tarjuma. I mean, the tarjuma for the program. And Maulana wasn't well at that time. So one of Maulana's satis, Maulana's close friends, went to Maulana and told him that, you know, like, he should do the tarjuma.
Okay.
Maulana first day was very excited, because when he came to meeting, spending time, and making khidmat of ulama and the elders, and Maulana was always ready and up for that, you know?
Right.
So Maulana, while being sick in a day, he said, no problem, and Maulana went for and he did the tarjuma, you know?
Subhanallah.
I was speaking to one of Maulana's friends, and he was telling me, he says that when Maulana did the tarjuma, Maulana did it, was out taking notes. He sat down, and as it was being said, he had done the tarjuma without taking any notes. You know, normally when they do tarjuma, they take notes and that's it. If you look at Maulana, the person that Maulana was, Maulana, first thing, when he came to his immediate family.
Okay.
Maulana was, he always cared for his siblings. He stood out from the rest of them.
Okay.
He was known to lead all the siblings and the family back towards good. So he was like the matured one in the family, you know. If you see somebody doing something wrong, whatever the case was, he was always the one who would lead them back towards what is right. Maulana was known for that in the family. He always cared a lot about his siblings. He had a special attachment with his mother, and he really cared a lot for his mother, you know. When I was speaking to his mother and asked her, I said, with regards to Maulana, and it's like, well, what type of a child was he? She said that he was always the most wonderful child.
Subhanallah.
He was always the one who he'd seen to his mother's needs at all times, you know. When it came to how Maulana was with the community, if Maulana had seen anything being done wrong in the community or someone doing something wrong, with a lot of love and a lot of hikmah, Maulana went and guided them towards what is right. When it came to us as family behind closed doors, the type of person Maulana was, you can't describe it. He was an incredible person. You know, like I said, you know, he was always the light of the room. He just walked into the room and the whole room lit up.
Subhanallah.
But he was that fatherly figure for everybody. For all of us, Maulana was that fatherly figure. Maulana was that figure who, he never allowed his difficulty and his sorrows, he never allowed it to be a burden on anybody else.
That's such an important point you make, Maulana. But I want to touch on that point a bit later, inshallah, if time awards, we have a bit of time. We have on the line now somebody that knew Morana for the better part of perhaps 30 years, was his colleague from the very Hifz class, Morana Zakaria Adam, the Imam of Robert Shem Masjid. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Morana, a very close person to you, more like a brother. You knew him for such a long time, Morana Siraj Parker. What are some of your thoughts that perhaps you could share with the listeners that could inspire them, Morana?
What can I say about Qari Siraj ibn Parker, rahmatullahi alayhi? I think Morana Hussein mentioned a lot about him and his brother. I was just listening to his brother now on air. And you sound same like his brother, Qari Siraj ibn Parker. I assume maybe he also sings like him, maybe, who knows. But anyway, sir, I know Qari Siraj from 1989, and we're the same age, basically. I also started here in 89. I had the same Ustad, Morana Nazir Latif, in Azad, but we're still presently there, the Hifz Ustad. And we started here together, and that's when we became close with one another. And I also have a fond, I like Nazams and, you know, Naats. And Qari Saab also comes from a family of Naats reciters and whatever.
If time permitted, we would have asked you for one, but perhaps on another occasion, inshallah, Morana.
I see that you're pushing it, Morana. This morning you also pushed it, you're pushing it. This is about Qari Siraj, not about.
Oh, but you, okay.
But anyway, sir, I think I got a dual Nazam of both of us where we sang in our. They were at our class reunion. So there we did sing a that's an audio say Yaro together. If you want to pay for the lesson, you can pay.
We will do that, inshallah, Morana.
Anyway, sir, Qari Saab and I, we go back a very long way, 28, 30 years, from 1989, we did Hifz together. Like his brother mentioned in Malana Hussein as well, that he was not well with his kidney stones. So I remember many a times when he used to come to Rabbi Shem, he was married here in Rabbi Shem, so he used to come often to the masjid, and I used to make him read the Fajr Salah, you know, the Qunut, etc. But anyway, and he used to tell me that, you know, the kidney stones is troubling him. He used to come often to my house to visit. And like I said, he's more like a brother to me, because when we were studying, I used to always feel the Cape Town students, sorry, in a sense that they're far away from home. And himself, Maulana Shaykh Adam, late Maulana Ibrahim Adam's son himself. And I used to take him home on weekends, you know, when we used to get off. And my family got to know him as well. And one thing about Maulana is he never refused whenever we asked him to sing, no matter how sick he was. And he used to always tell me that, like now recently before he passed away, that he used to go for an op and remove the stones. And the very next day, the x-rays used to show the stones again. And the doctors couldn't tell him why the stones are reoccurring again. You know? So basically, but yeah, one thing, good from the many good qualities Maulana had in him, there were two outstanding qualities which I noticed in Maulana. One was sabr, and one was tawakkal, his reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. And when he went for Umrah now with his brother Zahir, he messaged me when he was in front of the Kaaba. He sent me a WhatsApp and he said, you know, I'm thinking about you.
Allah.
And I'm making dua for you. And, you know, and send, I mean, out of all people, he thought about me. But anyway, sir, and he said, you know, I'm not going to leave the Kaaba until Allah give me shifa.
Sure.
And I told him, no, inshallah, just be strong and Allah will give you shifa, inshallah, you know. And then also in that last Nazam that we sang together in Brits by Maulana Ismail Jina's house, we had a class reunion. If you hear the ending part of that Nazam of Sunodil Tayaro,
okay.
He even makes mention in Urdu. He says, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala don't, I'm just translating, he said, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala don't make it our Al-Wida. We meet often again. He used to always like the class students to always meet, even though whatever they were doing in their lives, you know, he always wanted, you see, Maulana basically started with us in 93, but because of his sickness, he had to fall back 1 year, so he completed in 99, not in 98 with us.
Okay.
So that's how basically he completed in 90, because of his sickness. But with that, alhamdulillah, he made a lot of sabr. Whenever you ask him how you're feeling, you know, I used to meet him in Botswana as well, because we used to go for imtihan here with the Jamiat, and he never ever complained, like they say, he always showed a brave face, and he always said, alhamdulillah, I believe. Also that he's turned down a heart transplant, and he said, no, whatever Allah has decided for me, that's what I will accept, you know. So,
subhanallah.
Just something else.
Maulana, perhaps on a more personal level, you made mention of the dua that he made for you and the friendship that you had. What are some of his interpersonal skills and qualities that he had that people felt so special and close towards him?
He, like his brother said and Maulana Hussain said as well, he was a person that, like, no matter what he was going through, he always was smiling, you know. He was always smiling at people. People used to feel comfortable around him, like they never had a thing, hey, it's Maulana, you know. He was an easygoing person. You could speak to him with anything, you know, and you could go to him and speak to him, and he'll always give you a hearing and make you feel important, you know. And that was the one good quality Maulana had in him. And like I said, we lost a brother, and we lost, you know, it's the whole class, I think, till now, they will be with me, those who are listening from our class, that we still can't have them or can't, like, accept that Maulana is gone.
Yeah, something.
I mean, what a day we never passed and we never thought about. You don't think about him. You know.
Allah Ta'ala always makes some of these people special, you know. We don't realize what they say, what their patience and that how they endure and try to make everyone else happy, and like that, people don't forget them, Maulana. Once again, Jazakallah for your time this evening. We really appreciate it, Maulana.
No problem. We make to Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur and use him also after his death to inspire people with his naat recitals and whatever, you know, whatever his advice is as well. And Allah Ta'ala grant us death like him also in Ramadan, you know. I mean, he's very fortunate. You know, only the fortunate people die in the holy month of Ramadan, and that shows how beloved he was to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
Definitely.
Allah make it easy for his family. Our condolences go to his family as well. Allah give them sabr. It's not easy to lose a brother at that age, young. 45 is very young, you know.
And
to lose a brother at that age is not easy. Allah make it easy for his mother, especially, and his brother, and all of them, and all the family in Azazan as well. And Allah give them sabr and his family here in Rav Hashem, his wife and his two children. Actually, his two children are in our madrasa maktab, you know. And today I just told his son, he looks same like Maulana. And I told his son today, which I thought I'd share with the listeners, I said, you must listen 9 to 10, we're going to speak about your Abba today. And he said, inshallah, we'll listen.
SubhanAllah. If you are listening, Maulana's son, please do give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. We would definitely like to take you on air, inshallah, Maulana's children, if you are listening. The number is 011-854-1548. And then from there, inshallah, ta'ala, we'll take your call. One of the class members says, don't take my name, and you know this. He said Maulana was a gem of a person, but he was a very good ice skater as well. Obviously sharing some of the more joyous occasions that they had shared with Maulana. We have the last guest on the line today, brother Maulana Imran, the brother of Maulana Hussain. Maulana Hussain, your brother is a Maulana or is Imran? Maulana Hussain? We have Imran on the line. Imran, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
But do I call you Maulana or do we say Imran? I'm not too sure.
You can call me Maulana. Maulana. You can call me Imran. Call me Imran.
Maulana, let's do it. Maulana, some of your experiences with Maulana Siraj Parker?
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, if I can tell you, after my father passed away, my late father, he passed away in 2012. Maulana took it upon his shoulders to see to our entire family.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah, he became a second father to me. And Maulana literally, he looked after us in every way, every aspect. You know, he used to always phone us, message us daily, ask us, you know, is everything all right? And he made sure that I finished my alim course, because that was my father, my late father's dream. He wanted me to become an alim. And initially, when my father passed away, I thought about working and, you know, doing something else. And then Maulana used to, he was like on my case. He made sure I finished Ali Kur.
SubhanAllah.
And Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, I think, stayed quite some time in your home as well when he was studying in Azadville.
When he came to Azadville, he was like my father's son.
Okay.
My late father, Uncle Faisal, he was like my father's son. He lived in our house. He used to stay in our home. And we were still young, and we grew up under, we used to see Maulana coming home, coming to eat, to play with us, you know. He was something else, man.
SubhanAllah. Maulana, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you and the family, and Allah Ta'ala give Maulana the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus and grant his family the sabr jameel, inshaAllah.
Inshallah.
Is there something else that you want to share with the listeners, Maulana?
Well, I'd say in simplicity, Ma was very simple, Ma.
Gee.
He was simple in his ways, yet he made everybody smile in every way. You know, when he used to, like when I was saying, mentioned, when he used to walk into a room, he lightened up the room.
Gee.
In any serious matter, Maulana had that he could make a choke, or, you know, you make a small choke, and, you know, you bring people back to it. You know, you make people come to their senses. He had a speciality of dealing with people. He was a writer of high caliber. He knew how to relate to people. When I used to mention something to somebody, it stays with them. Like you'd see some of the WhatsApp messages coming from Botswana.
Gee.
It stayed with them for life, and inshallah, they will continue making dua for Mara.
Inshallah ta'ala. Marana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
Inshallah. Make dua for us.
Ameen, inshallah.
Allah Ta'ala grant the family sabr, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
Allah Ta'ala grant Maulana's son that he left behind, sabr jabil, and Allah Ta'ala grant him the ability to become alims, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. 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 As he inspired you to carry on after your father had passed away, perhaps it's time now for us as a community to inspire his children to be able to follow the footsteps of the Honorable Father.
Inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Who am I speaking to?
Muhammad Huzair Bakam Nasir Adedin San.
Muhammad Huzair, what an honor to speak to you today, this evening. Allah Ta'ala give your father the best of places in Jannatul Firdaus, and Allah Ta'ala make it such that you can also become a Maulana like your father, inshallah.
Yes.
What you can tell us about your father that you remember, Muhammad?
He was always loving and caring.
MashaAllah. Your father was a very amazing person who had a very soft heart, and he was a person who had a very beautiful voice. Allah Ta'ala make it such that you become a great means of your sadaqah jariyah for your father, inshallah, okay?
Yes.
Will you be so kind and carry on and also become a good hafiz and a good alim like your daddy? Inshallah. Allah Ta'ala make you good, strong person, inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala grant you good health. And you got a sister or a brother?
One sister and one brother.
One brother. Allah Ta'ala make them all serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah make them also become great people like how your father was, inshallah.
Yes.
Jazakallah, Muhammad. You can also sing like your father?
Yeah.
You can sing like your daddy?
Yes.
You want to sing one nizam for us quickly?
Okay.
Come sing for us one nizam quickly, inshallah.
Hammun wa ghammun khayratum wa tawajjuun fi darina wa masaibun tatadafa'u. هي دارنا دار الرحيم وكلنا يوما إلى دار المقائس نزمئ.
سبحان الله. MashaAllah, Muhammad, jazakallah so much for that nizam. Allah Ta'ala bless you in your voice, and Allah Ta'ala take you from strength to strength, inshallah.
I have three brothers and two sisters.
We have three brothers and two sisters, mashallah. Jazakallah so much for calling us this evening, Muhammad Uzair. Assalamu alaikum. Really, the nizam that he's saying, Hiya daruna, this is our house, and there's going to be a day when we're going to be leaving this house and we are going to be going towards the qabr. Perhaps for some people it's going to be happening. For Maulana, it's one step that Maulana has taken already. And for that, Maulana had already gone to that last final abode of his. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that Maulana's children become a means of sadaqah jariyah, insha'Allah ta'ala. Maulana Hussain, are you still on air with us?
Yes.
Maulana, your final comments before we conclude.
I don't know what to say, man. Except, you know, the Saturday night before Maulana passed away, Maulana's heart was only functioning approximately 14%.
Okay.
Before he passed away. And before he went for Umrah, it was when we went for Hajj last year.
Gee.
And Mawlana has just begged us over and over again that the only thing he wanted us to do was to make dua for him, that Allah has, that Allah takes him, you know, in his life he hadn't been to the Haram, to the Haramain. He begged us to make dua for him, that Allah takes him to the Haramain, you know.
Gee.
And then just before he left, he just phoned us to tell us Alhamdulillah he's got his visas and everything, he's leaving. And we were very happy and excited for him. And it was the end of April that Mawlana had left for his Umrah. And he had come back from his Umrah. And it's Saturday night before Mawlana had passed away. He came back from his Umrah about 2-3 weeks before he had passed away.
Gee.
And when he came back, the Saturday night before he passed away, then he was like going through a lot of pain. And he was having a very, very tough night.
Okay.
And in all that while he was going through all that day, when he calmed down a little bit, you know, and he was feeling a little bit more okay. And that time there, then he said out, like, you know, that, oh Allah, like, I love you. And I'm ready to go. Please take me.
Okay, Allah.
That was on a Saturday night. And then, Alhamdulillah, Mawlana's demise was approximately Seri time on Monday morning, on the 28th. And Allah must grant Mawlana the highest stages.
Ameen, ameen.
Make his qabr a garden of Jannah.
Ameen.
And grant the family sabr, khair, afiyat.
Ameen, inshaAllah. Mawlana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening. Allah Ta'ala, make it such that Allah Ta'ala give the family a ni'mal badal. And Allah Ta'ala make his children such that they are able to follow the great footsteps that Mawlana had left, inshaAllah.
Ameen.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Respected listeners, perhaps to sum it up all, is that no matter what you're going through in your personal life, how you make others feel is what people will remember you for. And the greater the sacrifice, the greater the effort, the greater the concern for deen. In all of this, if there's one thing that stands out, that no matter where Mawlana was, or no matter what condition he was going through, or no matter what the circumstances was, Mawlana always put the effort of deen first. And as long as that effort of deen was there in front of him, and he had a vision, and he encouraged people towards that vision, the single thing that happened is people never forgot that. And people will never forget. And as long as we inspire people towards deen, we will see the difference it makes, not when we're alive, when it matters most when we leave this world. And last thing I would like to say is that, you know, there are many people around us that are still alive. And they are great people. And they are people that really put an effort. You know, Kare Ayub Sahib, our ustad in one of his status was saying that hum to murda paras ban gaye. We like love the dead. What about starting to value the living? Our parents, our families, the ulama in our area. How many of the senior ulama are just not well? They are in the latter part, 60, 70. Their health is not there. Perhaps it's better for us to sit for 20 minutes in front of them to learn about them than to have a one-hour program when they're not there. Because that 1 hour is to be inspired by them. When they're not here, but that 20 minutes when you sit with that alim and you learn directly from him, it can never be equated with anything else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the understanding. Inshallah, next week we will endeavor to do a program on Qari Qasim Shahri rahmatullah alayhi. We will speak to the family. Let's see if they are able to do so, inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala make it easy for him. Allah ta'ala forgive all his shortcomings. You know, Allah Ta'ala accept all the services of deen that he was doing. To give us an understanding, one of the ustads I was speaking to, I asked him, Mawlana, how many became hafiz by you? He said, Mawlana, I stopped counting at 100. So just well imagine how many people must have graduated as huffaz, thereafter done their alim, their qira'ah, and thereafter spreading the work of Islam and the Quran in the world. And these ulama, they are just gaining from the investments that they had made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.